Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
The Greg Kelly Show. Get it?
Hey, Trump just got out of court, and he's got a big stack of documents with him, and he has a few things to say. And he's been, we're going to figure out how to connect to President Trump. The court is over for today. And, let's listen.
But he's out campaigning. He's out campaigning, and I'm here in a courtroom sitting here sitting up as straight as I can all day long, because you know what? It's a very unfair situation. So we're locked up in a courtroom, and this guy's out there campaigning, if you call it a campaign. Every time he opens his mouth, he gets himself into trouble. So that's the story. I have an unconstitutional gag order by a highly conflicted judge that should recuse himself. Very simple. On the schools, should have never happened. What's going on in this country now should have never happened. But of course, the Ukraine war would have never happened. The Israeli attack would have never happened. Inflation would have never happened. We have the worst president in the history of our country, and he's the one that has us in all these different lawsuits. Thank you very much.
What the hell is up with the gosh darn it audio? It's not on our end. It's like they are making it muffled on purpose. You know, I noticed that they got a lot of jerks down there, a lot of wise asses mouthing off to him. Are one of those tech guys messing with it? You can't hear him very well. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. And there's one thing, audio. If audio is bad, if it's off, it really messes people up and they don't want to. That is a problem. You know, somebody was messing around with some of my videos last night. I put out about 48 minutes worth of videos, and there was no sound for 20 minutes of it. And, you know, they put commercials in there. There were no sound on the commercials either. I've never had that before. And I was actually talking to Caroline Leavitt, who's a great spokesperson for President Trump. And the moment she opened her mouth, test pattern, right? It's all a tone. No audio, just tone. Suppression, censorship, you better believe it. I nothing would surprise me anymore. Nothing at all. he's responsible for disinformation. Excuse, who the hell decides that? See how dangerous that is? Somebody is in charge of figuring out what's disinformation or misinformation. Stay the hell out of it. I have to say something about, what's her name? Karen McDougal. Former Playboy playmate. I don't care if she was fooling around with Trump or not. I do care that she spoke out, and she should not have spoken out. If she did do what she claims to have done, why would she come forward and say that stuff? She's not saying that she was abused. She's not saying that she was harmed in any way. Now, I noticed that she is a model, and models... Models are sometimes head cases, unfortunately. They are. It's really not their fault. They're very beautiful. They're especially beautiful, you know, when they're young. And guess what happens when you're beautiful and young and everyone kisses your ass all the time? Well, you can just sit back and be beautiful and young and not develop any skills, not really know anything, and you can get by on that. Not always, but a lot. And then all of a sudden, you're not so young anymore, but you haven't developed any skills or any knowledge, and uh-oh, what about me? So was it a uh-oh, what about me situation? Because reportedly, she was living in Arizona, didn't have that much going on, and thought, you know what? I know something about that guy. Maybe I'll just start talking about it. Maybe I'll get some money for it. Why would you do that? And it's interesting that there's no one asked her about, okay, did you know he was married? Yeah, did that enter your mind? Now apparently it did, I don't know. What about the whole idea of shame? Right? It's all between her and God, quite frankly. But if I had done that, and that's it, there's no other real story there, would you go on television to say it? What value? What worth? And she did. Now, I don't know what to believe anymore, right? And even if it's true, I don't care. And, you know, people from all walks of life stumble. I've stumbled. You've stumbled, right? We've all made mistakes. I make a hell of a lot fewer of them now than I used to. I was a walking disaster for a good chunk of my life. But if Donald Trump did have a dalliance with her, so what? I mean, really, I mean, I'm not even supposed to know that. You're not supposed to know that. No one's supposed to know that. But we know that. I guess that comes with politics. Not really, because certain people can have a dalliance, and those who come forward, well, they're not treated necessarily like Karen McDougal with the Anderson Cooper and the respectful and the red carpet and all that stuff. You know what they did to the women who came out against Bill Clinton? They called them bimbos. George Stephanopoulos, who lectures us every day on the Good Morning America show, you think he gets $25 million for telling the truth? What the hell is up with that situation? The same guy who partied down with Jeffrey Epstein in his house, closed door, exclusive, elite party, after Jeffrey Epstein had been convicted of sexually abusing children, George Stephanopoulos hangs out with a guy, socializes. And George Stephanopoulos also, what did that make me think of? All right, so he does that. Oh, he wrote down bimbo in his book. He called them all bimbos, all the women who came forward against Bill Clinton. He complained about them being bimbos. Can you believe that? That book is still in print. He's still on TV. Bimbos. Has he ever had to apologize for that? It's a really strange world. It used to be kind of straightforward. And, and this is the other thing I wanted to say. So there's a new book about George Herbert Walker Bush, and it's called Character Counts. And it's the reporter or the writer who wrote it used to work for George H.W. Bush, the first President Bush. And he was fine. I liked him. I actually voted for him. My first presidential election, I voted for him. I thought it was pretty cool that he had such an interesting resume. He seemed very qualified for the job. But he wasn't a leader. Let's face it, he was a wimp. And the thing about him, he was also a man, you know, a man with all the failings and all the virtues and demons that people have. He fooled around with a woman for 24 years. Did you know that? Her name was Jennifer Fitzgerald. And it almost drove Barbara to kill herself. In the 1970s, she was so depressed, she almost swallowed enough pills to kill a cow. But she decided not to, thank God. Because George H.W. Bush was cheating on her, and everybody in town knew it. Fast forward 50 years, and there's a book called Character Counts. I'm not saying he lacked character, actually, if he had that failing, if he did that. But what I object to is the whole message from this silly reporter, I think her name is Becker, and she's pushing this book, like, wasn't it wonderful when we had character in the White House and now we have Donald Trump to contend with in January 6th and porn stars? I kind of like the idea that Donald Trump is not afraid to get his picture taken with a porn star, by the way. Or, you know, Takeshi Tech Nine, all these crazy rap stars. It doesn't matter. He doesn't judge like that. You know, Jenna Jameson, I talked about it yesterday, went to some fight at a casino. He just sat next to Trump. It's in the hospitality business. And just like Jesus, he was a friend to all. I'm not saying he's Jesus, but very much like Jesus in a weird way. Don't you think? All right, can I go back to my Papua New Guinea guy? He was fantastic. And as Joe Biden ridiculed Papua New Guinea, a great place not too far from Australia, beautiful, called them all a bunch of cannibals. And this guy was so appalled by it. I called up somebody in Papua New Guinea. I found the smartest political scientist I could find. And we put him on the phone and had a conversation.
He was completely wrong as to the facts of what happened to his uncle. His uncle, who he never met, crashed in the water after taking off from Papua New Guinea. There's no claim, no legitimate claim that he crashed on land. So what is he getting at, though? I mean, why would that be the story in family lore? What was going on in Papua New Guinea like hundreds or thousands of years ago?
You know, context is important. Cannibalism did exist in some communities in Papua New Guinea, but it was practiced as part of a ritual, and it was practiced in a very specific and confined context. Now, this practice was abolished some 60 years before the Second World War. So even if his uncle crashed, you know, on land, nobody would have eaten him. And there is no cultural context to eating a white man who falls from the sky.
That is really something. And it kind of shows you about, well, all kinds of bias and bigotry in Joe Biden's mind. So it shocked you more. Has it blown over yet? I mean, and I can understand the people. I mean, he's talking about your country in such an ignorant fashion. You heard what the prime minister said. Has it blown over at this point? You know, there's only so much you can do when the president of the United States insults you. I guess you could tweet at him or something. But where do things stand now?
Yeah, it's one of these things going viral at the moment. The social media platform that's popular in Papua New Guinea is Facebook. So there's a lot of discussions going on Facebook. There are a lot of names being called, which I don't want to say to you. So it's not taken, you know, lightly by Papua New Guineans. Now, our prime minister was very diplomatic. And I just want to tell your audience that that's not how Papua New Guineans think. Papua New Guineans expect an apology.
Expect an apology. And I think one is totally due. Well, sir, I can't apologize on behalf of America. I can't apologize for somebody else, but I hope he does. It was a ridiculous, stupid comment, an ignorant comment. And do me a favor, can you just tell us a little bit about Papua New Guinea? Unfortunately, I have never been, but quite frankly, after talking to you, I want to visit. Tell us a little bit about your home.
It's a beautiful country. It's a country that, you know, 10% of the languages of the world are found in Papua New Guinea. The place you're serving, it's one of the fjords. It's actually where I'm from. And it's in the Pacific. It's very lovely.
He is a great guy, and it's a great place. And Joe Biden, how dare you? I can't really I hate it. I saw Willie Geist said, on behalf of America, I want to thank you, Officer Fanone. Like, you can thank on the behalf of your third of the MSNBC Morning Joe show, but you can't thank on behalf of America, Willie Geist. And neither can I can't apologize on behalf of America, but I did say I'm embarrassed. We are all embarrassed by Joe Biden. Long live Papua New Guinea. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
And everybody on Instagram is so cut and in shape. You ever notice that? What are these guys doing? And the girls, too. What are they doing? What are they taking? How do they? Is it Photoshop? Is this real? It can't be real. Hey, all right. So you're going to hear a woman. Her name is Tracy McCarter. Now, Tracy McCarter killed her husband. Killed him. Just killed the guy. His name was Murray. By all accounts, a nice guy who might have drank a little bit too much, but a great guy, great father. And she killed him. They had an argument, and she stabbed him. She told everybody. She told the cops, I stabbed him. She told the neighbor, I stabbed him. She told the 911 operator, I stabbed him. I stabbed him. But she tells a different story today. And Alvin Bragg actually believes this. You want to hear her excuse? It's really quite something. Okay, this became a big cause. She became a survivor of domestic abuse. I don't believe this story because, well, listen for yourself. Cut 16, please. Cut 16.
When he came at me again, I was terrified that if he got his arms around my neck again, this might be the time that I don't make it. And so I reflexively just grabbed a knife out of the drawer and held it in front of me. And he tripped coming towards me and he stumbled. And when he did that, he hit the knife.
He fell into the knife. He hit the knife. Not me. I didn't stab him. He stabbed himself. I was just standing here holding a knife and he fell on it. Well, the coroner found multiple stab wounds. Okay, so did he fall multiple times? Did he get back up and do the whole thing over again? Multiple stab, and the coroner also believes that based on the wounds, there were two knives. So how many times, Laurel and Hardy, how many times did this little, right, so this is incredible. Incredible. Nobody believes this. Except for DA Alvin Bragg, and the judge can't believe that Alvin Bragg wants to drop the charges, which he did, cut 17.
What you want to do now is to dismiss this case outright, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. The fact that we have one fatal wound here, not a series of wounds, the almost kind of immediate medical attention after the infliction of that wound.
It's kind of hard to hear any of that, but what he's saying, like, well, evidence is that it's just one wound, not multiple wounds. The judge wrote, you're wrong. The judge said the coroner finds all kinds of wounds, and the way these wounds are on the body suggests multiple knives and multiple stabbings. And you want to drop this case? Well, they did. Because Alvin Bragg was a new kind of prosecutor, eh? Cut 18.
Manhattan's new district attorney, Alvin Bragg, is defending his crime-fighting plan after police officers, including the city's new police commissioner, raised concerns about their safety.
He says fighting the most serious crimes requires more effort, so he's directed his office to spend less time prosecuting crimes like marijuana misdemeanors, prostitution, and fare evasion.
It's going to give us the resources to focus on guns and to focus on domestic violence.
Stop!
Bragg also doesn't believe...
All right, so what are they focusing on now? Bookkeeping errors. Donald Trump wrote something they don't think is legal in the check stub, and they know it doesn't matter. It's a fake case, and they got four prosecutors on it. Four. You know how many it takes to prosecute a murder? Two lawyers. I just saw a woman outside. She's walking down the street. She lost her shoe, and she had to go back, and she fell on the ground, and now she's getting up. No one's helping her, but granted, there's not anybody close to her. And also granted, those damn shoes are too tall for you, honey. And speaking of prostitution, is that a streetwalker right there? In broad daylight? It's questionable. It can go either way. There's the music. Alvin Bragg. Amazing. Hey, don't blame us, America. They say, oh, he was duly elected. He was duly elected by a couple of thousand people. Remember, they have primary day on the last day of school. So nobody comes out and votes, right? Nobody. Nobody even knows when election day is around here.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
A big write-up in the New York Times. Not that we care about the New York Times, but I love Melania Trump. And I'm also very friendly with Rick Grenell. I talked to him a lot. We've interviewed him here. He was the former director of national intelligence. What else? Ambassador to Germany under Trump and a close confidant of the Trumps. And they had a big reception down there at Mar-a-Lago. And there's a picture of him and Melania. And the scandal is, you ready for this? Melania is wearing black. She's wearing a black pantsuit, it looks like. And the Times goes on and on and on. Black, as one Palm Beach denizen said, is almost never seen locally. Mrs. Trump didn't even wear black to the memorial for Rosalynn Carter. Yet there she was, in black. All of which suggests that, once again, Mrs. Trump is preparing to use the semiology of dress to tweak and tease the watching world. Okay, I don't know all that much about fashion, but I do know that women, every single one of them out there, has a black dress, even in Palm Beach. And it took me about a microsecond to find 87,000 women wearing black dresses at cocktail parties in Palm Beach. It's amazing. It's just... They write like it's 20 years ago or 30 years ago that we don't have access to anything, that we're just a bunch of schmucks, that we're just a bunch of, that they can tell us anything and we're going to believe it. And a lot of people do. A lot of people won't spend that microsecond. That doesn't sound right. Wait a second. Here's Grace McFadden, also known as Grace the Face, who is also, many people call her the face of Palm Beach. She's totally beautiful. And guess what color is her favorite? Black. And she's wearing it in every picture I can find here. It doesn't matter if it's daytime, nighttime. She looks great in black, and that's her color. It's just never in a million years would I look at that photograph of her and Rick Grenell, Melania and Rick Grenell, and think, what's up with the black? It's also known as an outfit. I would call it an outfit. Who's this crazy lady? Oh, yeah, Vanessa Friedman. She's been at the Times for a long time now. And, you know, she has her marching orders. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how you dress. You know, if you're a dowdy woman like, what's her name again? Jill Biden, you know, you'll make Dr. Jill Biden. Oh, she's a cutting edge and so stylish. And the color evokes a simpler era, one of integrity, just nonsense like that. And Melania is obviously fed up with her husband and is trying to tell the world help. It's kind of like that. Hey, Barbara, hello.
Hey, hi, Greg. I heard you saying earlier that MAGA people are being kept away from the site of the courts where Donald Trump is. And that brought to mind something I've been working on here about the heckler's veto, the decision that was just made by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that may affect things like this. It's a very, very important decision for freedom of speech, where we've all heard of instances where conservatives, and it's mostly conservatives, conservative speaker was invited to a campus, and the college will say, oh, wait, you need to pay thousands of dollars in security costs because this may cause danger. It may cause disruption. And even going so far as canceling the event completely. That's called a heckler's veto, where you allow the thought or the idea, even the knowledge, the prediction that there will be violence and disagreement, you allow that to shut down someone's free speech. So out in Seattle, a pro-life speaker was reading the Bible in the midst of a celebration of Pride Fest. And he was standing there in a conversational tone on a sidewalk, a public sidewalk, reading the Bible. Well, the people at the Pride Fest ended up assaulting him, knocked him down, tore his Bible, took his Bible away, et cetera, et cetera. The police told him to move someplace else because it was creating a problem. He said, no, I'm standing on this public sidewalk. This is what I do. And so he got another Bible and he continued reading. The police arrested him. So he ended up before the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals found in his favor. It said that the police may not shut down speech because they're afraid it's going to cause violence. They said if speech provokes wrongful acts on the part of hecklers, the government must deal with those wrongful acts directly. It may not avoid doing so by suppressing the speech.
I love it. And I remember this guy. I remember the video. I remember what he did. And it's a very important case. Now, I may have interviewed him. I think I actually, this goes back a couple of years, right? It's a couple of years, and I interviewed him. No. I mean, the case, but no, the actual event happened, I think, about 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay. I hadn't heard of it before.
There's no way it would have made it all the way to the appeals court, you know, if it happened last month. I mean, this goes way back. I remember people were getting very upset, and I actually had him on my show, and I did ask him, look, you know, were you trying to get a reaction? And it doesn't matter if he was, fine, you know, because, you know, no, there's something to this is that, look, sometimes people love the fight. They don't love the, you know, it's just to get a reaction, but that's okay. You're allowed to go out and get a reaction. And part of that makes me a little bit, you know what I mean? Is it the most productive thing to go to a Pride festival and read from the Bible as if you're really going to change any minds, you know?
Well, what the court said in their opinion is that this man is a dedicated Christian, and this is what he feels is his mission, is to spread the word of the Bible in places where he knows the Bible is not accepted. So this was in keeping with what this man did. He was speaking in a conversational tone. He wasn't, you know, abusing anyone or attacking anyone.
Yeah, you're allowed to do it, and you're allowed to do that. And I'm glad the court ruled in his favor. I'm going to look that up. I remember the video. I remember talking to him. And I was talking to him conversationally. I was just wondering, like, is there perhaps a better use of your time? Because, you know, is there a place where, you know, people at a Pride festival, you know, a lot of them go, you know, because they're down to get down, all right? They're like, you know, Pride is code for the great big sex jamboree. Quite frankly, it's a big hookup place. And I don't remember his answer, but I had that question. Standing on the street corner with the Bible, my sense is it doesn't capture too many souls, but you never know. So if you want to do it, do it. So
it is his right to do it. And if he changes one mind, or if he causes someone to go home and maybe next year or 3 years from now, pull a Bible off the shelf.
I know, but there's a little bit too much of, look at me, here I am, and I get a lot of attention when I do this. You know, actually preaching the gospel, I think it takes a little bit more patience and a little bit more work. And, you know, if you're talking to people whose hearts are hardened, I'm just telling you, I wondered about this guy's motivations a little bit, but it doesn't matter. His motivations are up to him. He's allowed to do it. I'm glad the state ruled that way. And the whole idea, well, something bad could happen. You could take that to an extreme. In fact, they already have, you know, Donald Trump talked about the election of 2020. Well, that could lead to somebody doing something conceivably, and that could lead to January 6th. So nobody should talk about the election of 2020. That kind of crap is where we are going. I'm so grateful for this decision. So good stuff. Good stuff, Barbara. What district was that? What circuit? Ninth, fifth, what?
The ninth district. I wrote a summary, a pretty succinct summary of this. It'll be up on the website, affor.org, next week. It goes up on the 28th.
A-F-F-O-R, affor.org. Hey, right, next right. week. What about in the next hour? Come on, we got to get these pieces up. All right.
Well, I could put it up there, but people are used to a new one every Sunday.
All right. Very good. Very good. So once a week, that's good. Thank you, Barbara. We will be looking for that. Yeah, I do wonder about. I just wondered about this guy taking a Bible and walking right into Pride Month. You know, what was his intent? Was his intent to win over people or to preach the gospel, or was intent to cause, you know, havoc? Was it his intent to save souls? Was his intent to look at me? I'm trying to save souls. But it really, quite frankly, is none of my business. Whatever he wants to do, and if he's peaceful and he's not violating anybody else's civil rights, he's allowed to. You're not allowed to violate his civil rights. So good for him. I like that. Kathleen, you know what I mean about that? Never mind. What's on your mind?
Greg, I was calling about how they could disperse these people at the campuses. They say they won't let the National Guard or the police. What about FDNY? Did you ever see a crowd hit with a hose? And just blow them away.
Just blow them away. Well, that's cute, Kathleen. Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
You're serious. You're serious.
I'm
you're serious.
Serious.
You're serious. Grab the hose. Grab the hose. They can't. They won't even let the cops in there. You think they're going to let the firefighters in a fire truck with their hose?
Well, listen. You get your mall Bowman in there. Teach them how to
pull the fire alarm. Jamal Bowman pulls the fire alarm, and then they all show up. Look, the university has. Look, it's the reason why it's dysfunctional. All right, and that's, you know, is the university is allowing this and sanctioning it. The university has set up this so-called liberation zone for these guys to be there and for them to hassle Jewish students. The university itself is promulgating this and is like kind of sanctifying it. It's terrible. So, you know, the imagery, by the way, would also backfire. You know, they'd come for the FDNY, believe me. So I know about those hoses. They're pretty effective at putting out fires and making people go away. Thank you, Kathleen. We don't do that anymore, though, right? They don't do that anymore, do they? I mean, I saw it in the 60s, and that didn't look too good. But if the green light is given, you know what works best? Tear gas, right? Let's face it. Tear gas works really good. Although the problem is it can blow right back on you, and then unless you have a gas mask, and even if you do have a gas mask, you know, I had to do tear gas training and chemical warfare training in the military. Oh, my God. You had a, that was terrible. And even with the gas mask, you could smell the damn tear gas, and it was in the back of your throat, and people were kind of throwing up, and it was just terrible. And all I can say is you don't want to be in a chemical warfare. You don't want to be in chemical war. That would be terrible. Joe, hello.
Hello, Greg. Speaker Johnson, why couldn't he just do as the Democrats do, get in front of every camera he can see and just say to my Democratic colleagues, what do you want? If Israel and Zelensky and Taiwan is so important, close the border. It's your choice. He doesn't have what it takes. I called his office and I'm following up with a letter.
Yeah, good.
He's
Don't forget the letter. Calling the office doesn't really cut it. Hey, I totally agree with you. This guy could have made it very simple. He could have said, you know what? Remain in Mexico. It's a piece of paper. Just start that thing again, and I'll give you all the money you want for your Ukraine. Instead, he doesn't have what it takes. Having said that, pal, I do not want to make a change right now. I think a change is going to blow up in our face. And guess what is going to happen to Speaker Johnson? You know what's going to happen? He's going to quit and go home. He'll quit and go home. And then we'll have another vacancy. And you know what we won't have then? A majority of sane people. You do know that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wait until after the election. And remember, what made Trump's first term less successful was that idiot Jeff Sessions. If he was going to recuse himself, he should have quit. He gave control to the deep state. He is a useful idiot.
I know you're talking about. I mean, he's kind of out of left field. That's a long time ago now. But yeah, he was terrible. Jeff Sessions, that goober from Alabama. What a nothing guy. I mean, oh, geez, finally give him some power. He doesn't know what the hell to do with it. That was terrible. I was actually watching Trump getting all mad about that yesterday in 2018. He was furious and rightly so. Was it early? Yeah, 2018. He was rightly furious with Jeff Sessions. It was a joke what the hell happened. A joke. The deep state is real. It is entrenched. And oh, by the way, there are a hell of a lot of Republicans involved in it. And they want to stop us. They want to ruin our democracy. They don't trust us. They don't even like us. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. Is the Greg Kelly Show.
When he came at me again, I was terrified that if he got his arms around my neck again, this might be the time that I don't make it. And so I reflexively just grabbed a knife out of the drawer and held it in front of me. And he tripped coming towards me and he stumbled. And when he did that, he hit the knife.
He hit the knife. He punched himself. Oh, he threw himself down the stairs. That sounds like a mobster's excuse. He hit the knife. He fell. That was McCarter is her name, Tracy McCarter. And that total BS story, guess who believed it? Alvin Bragg. In fact, he campaigned on the whole notion of letting her go. But there's a problem. The prosecutors actually thought she was guilty. The grand jury thought she was guilty. The family of the guy she killed, her husband, thought that she was guilty and wanted a trial. The judge wanted a trial. Everybody except Alvin Bragg, who took money from groups that were advocating for her. You know, this is a domestic violence survivor, and George Soros gets involved and all the money is around. So before you see the evidence, before you see anything, before you actually have access to anything, he comes out with these crazy pronouncements. And that she is a survivor and she must be let go. And what do? They let her go. They just let her go. She's a murderer. She's a murderer. She stabbed her husband. And what was the excuse again? He fell into the knife. He hit the knife. If only he hadn't hit that knife. She told the cop I stabbed him. She called the 911 operator, said I just stabbed my husband. She told her neighbor I just stabbed my husband. Now, look, you can go to trial and have that discussion, self-defense. People claim self-defense all the time. Although if you're really going to say my husband fell into the knife, that's not going to work, right? That's and nor should it work. Hey, with all the crazy, insane anti-Semitism going on, Joe Biden should be out there condemning it, right? No, it has nothing to do with white supremacy, so he's not interested. And I couldn't believe how here he is just totally blowing it off. Listen to this, cut 15.
Condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that.
I condemn people who don't understand what the Palestinians, what? Gibberish on the way. He's running away from the cameras as he's saying this. I condemn, as he's looking the other way, he condemns anti-Semitism. Where's the leadership? You know, he said he ran back in 20, when the hell, when did he run? 2019, he puts that video out. I am running because of what happened in Charlottesville. That's when I knew America was at risk. I got to go in a minute. Frank, yeah?
Hey, Greg, what's going on, buddy? I just want to ask you, how you feeling about this Max Azzarello guy? I mean, he lights himself out on fire out in front of the Trump trial there with the manifesto saying how that we're all victims of a totalitarian con and that Trump is also a part of it. How do you feel?
Well, he said Biden was a part of it, too.
Yes, both sides.
Yeah. How do I feel about him? I feel he's a nut job and he burned himself up. I mean, what the hell am I supposed to feel about him? You think we're supposed to be debating his manifesto? The guy set himself on fire. I mean, nut jobs do that. They did it at the Pentagon. They did it. The guy did it. The environmentalist did it in Prospect Park. I like to make a point to not talk about these nut jobs because it encourages other nut jobs. Oh, they'll read from my manifesto. I'll write a manifesto and then I'll burn myself. So I have no interest, no curiosity even. All right. I mean, I spent about 90 minutes looking at him and his background, and I know he worked for Bill Clinton and Tom Suozzi and stuff like that. It's not their fault he did what he did. All right. This is mental illness. You realize that, Frank. Mental illness is a real thing.
100%. Absolutely. That's why I was curious to see your take on it. Thank you.
You got it, Frank. I appreciate it. Pamela in New Jersey. Hello.
Hey, when I was in high school, I was in a catwalk, an enclosed catwalk bridge from building to building, and somebody let loose a tear gas bomb. And boy, that'll stop you in your tracks because we're all looking at each other like it was surreal. Like, what's going on? We're coughing and we don't know why we're coughing. And it felt like glass in our throat. And then a teacher came by and she got caught up in it. And she said, tear gas. Ugh. So we just had to wait till we stopped spitting up, you know, some.
Who the hell did it in high school?
Oh, you know, you get that from time to time, you know, sulfur bombs and you get that.
Where do you go to high school? Beirut?
Well, it's America, urban schools. Hey.
What did we have? I never had anything like that in high school. All right. Well, I'm glad you made it out. Let's try David. Hello.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good. Go ahead. Fast.
Sure. I was just wondering if maybe I'm a lawyer from Florida. I prosecuted my share of cases. And something about the Trump trial is really bugging me. They're compelling him to stay there in the courtroom. But you can waive your right to be in court. I mean, you can waive your right to a jury trial.
Right. You and Alan Dershowitz agree on this thing, and the judge could actually let him go, but he doesn't want to. But there's grounds that if he did that, then it would be appealable. It gets weird.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.